On today's episode of Insights, how long does it take before you start to see results from blogging? How can you steal insights from your competitors to identify the ads they're currently running on Facebook? And we discuss a recent topic from ASA Central. Today's episode is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. Want to stand out, stay top of mind, and sell more? Haley Marketing's philosophy is simple: to make great marketing more affordable. Whether you're looking to drive sales leads or attract more qualified candidates, we make it easy for you to stand out in a saturated market. To learn more, visit HaleyMarketing.com. This is Insights.
Welcome to Insights. Tips and best practices from the insiders at Haley Marketing. Insights will provide you with the tools you need to master your social media, digital marketing, and employer branding. Your hosts for Insights are Brad Biley and Matt Lozar.
What's up? This is Brad Biley, and welcome to another episode of Insights. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing, Matt Lozar. Matt, we got a great show lined up today. Let's hop right in.
Content Blueprint.
There's no marketing silver bullet. You know that, Matt. And content marketing is no different. So how long does it take before you start to see results from blogging?
Well, Brad, we could see results tomorrow. We start today. We could definitely see results tomorrow.
How so?
Let's say we post an article on our site, you know, resume tips, client leader generation, pick your topic, which you think would be great for your audience, and share it on your blog. Could people find your blog that way? That's not the answer I was really looking for. It was more maybe you or another recruiter, another internal employee, share it on social media, and that's a piece of content that drives traffic right back to your blog.
I think that's one of the best parts about creating content is that as soon as you publish it, you have the opportunity to drive inbound traffic back to your website. You create this great piece of content, whether that's an article, you publish that on the blog, long form, short form, you publish that, and then you distribute it over to LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. You have an immediate opportunity to drive new visitors back to your website.
Maybe you could send it an email to a client or another candidate and say, you know, we just published this great piece of content, thought you really find it helpful. And there's another way to deliver that content and not just rely on social.
Like with email too, think about an email signature and how many emails you send on a given day. If your email signature is check out our latest blog article or check out our blog for X resources, X number of resources, immediately driving traffic back to that article, immediately driving value to that end reader.
And it's free. It's free distribution. I mean, it takes time, obviously, but that's a great way to instantly deliver that content that you have put time and resources into to deliver it to your audience, which is a lot of the thought and the talking points we have really mentioned throughout, you know, past episodes of Insights.
So I think it's a great question. How long does it take to see results from blogging? Really, on a short-term basis, you could see results as soon as you click publish.
We could, but I think a little bit in jest, like that's not really the long-term goal
sure.
of a blogging program.
What is?
The long-term goal, I mean, in dollars and cents, it's to drive more traffic back to your site. It's to get your audience back to your website through organic traffic. And what we mean by organic traffic is people, candidates, anyone really that went to Google, you know, it could be Yahoo and Bing as well, entered a search term into Google, and then they come across your content.
Yeah, and as you're adding fresh content on your website, Google starts to favor your site above others. Fresh content, unique content is still a very important ranking factor in the eyes of Google. So if you think about local competitors who might not be blogging, you immediately have a leg up in terms of search engine authority if you're creating that unique content on a consistent basis.
And to put a time frame on it, I mean, maybe we can talk about this later with our SEO expert, Dan, when he's on in a couple of weeks. Sure. But, you know, in the past, I feel like when I first started here at Haley Marketing in 2015, it was, you know, the talking points were 3 to 6 months. That's when you can really start to see impact. And I mean, now I would almost say 6 to 12 months just because there's so much content out there. And with a lot of websites and companies creating blogs and fresh content, it takes more time to get your company's website to receive more authority in the eyes of Google.
Matt, I actually saw a great post on Twitter over the weekend. If you ranked number one in 2013 on Google, you were 330 pixels from the top, Ranking number one in 2019 puts you at 1,050 pixels from the top.
I saw that, and explain that.
Yeah, so what it's saying is that now if you want to rank one on Google, you still have 1,000 pixels above you, meaning you have advertisements, you have potentially the Google map, you have featured snippets, you have the knowledge graph, which shows those answers immediately on Google. So ranking one in Google isn't really the solution anymore because there's still so much space above you.
And Google for jobs.
Absolutely.
It's somebody in 2013 may have typed in marketing jobs in Buffalo, New York, and you know, a job posting may show up, or a really great blog may be at the top of that list. But I mean, today, the top three entries on that search result are going to be Google for jobs, the jobs Google indexed for marketing jobs in the Buffalo area.
So, Matt, if we want to bring this full circle, if we think about how long it takes to have value and have an impact from blogging, the short term is you can see success today. You click publish on a blog, maybe it hits a couple auto feeds, your team shares it, you put it in an email, you can drive traffic and start to see results from candidates in your local market immediately after publishing. But the long term value, it might take some time. You're thinking about sharing great content, putting out great resources that ultimately answer a question better than anybody else can answer a question. That's what Google wants to do, right? They want to serve the answer to a question, and they want to serve the best answer. Otherwise, people won't come to Google for that answer.
And it takes time for Google to see your website as authority. You can't just start a website tomorrow and expect to compete with a website that's been producing content for weeks and months and years. It's, as Brad really said really well, it's answering the question a internet user types into the Google Search Console. Is your content the right answer for that search term?
You know I'm a Gary Vee fan. He has a quote that I love that says, "You win when you fall in love with patience." And I'm convinced that that's the content marketing play there. You need to be patient with the impact that your content's going to have. If you're creating a blog just because of the SEO value, that's great, but it does take time for that blog to be indexed, as we've mentioned. To see immediate success, though, you have to start sharing that content, distributing that content, getting more eyeballs on that resource quickly.
Social reach.
Have you ever wondered what ads your competitor is running on Facebook?
Yes.
Matt and I are going to teach you how to steal insights from your competitors by identifying and researching their Facebook ads. So what I'm going to have you do, if you want to follow along on your mobile device, is I'm going to walk through really quickly how to actually see what ads your competitor is currently running on Facebook. So we'll give you a quick 5-second count here. Pull open the Facebook app on your mobile device. What I'm going to have you do in the top search bar is type in your local competitor. Maybe it's another staffing firm that you know is stealing your candidates on a weekly basis. Go ahead and type in their name in the search bar and then click search. Once you find their page, you'll click on the page and you'll pull it up. And then from there, you're going to scroll through their page until you see page transparency. From page transparency, you're going to click see all. And then from that screen, click on where it says ads from this page. You're going to select view in ad library. What that will now show you is a page that is rendering all of the active ads that your competition is currently running across Facebook. So Matt, I'm going to ask you, why is it important to understand what our competitors are doing when it comes to our own marketing?
I think it comes back to know what your competitors are doing with anything. I mean, you know what they're doing to get more job orders, to get into more clients, the clients you want to target. So what they're doing in marketing, I mean, anything you can learn about your competitors, that's really going to help your game plan. And when Facebook announced this, you know, about a year ago in 2018 and started to roll it out, it was all for data transparency and to really show, you know, what ads are running by certain companies and to help distinguish between free content and paid content. And to bring this back to what your competitors are doing, it's, you know, what's the message they're sending to your job candidates? What's the message they're sending to your audience? How does your staffing agency, how does your company compete with that? How can your value prop compete with their message? Is it better? Does it need to be improved? So if you can see what their playbook is, then you can adjust, you know, your moves and be more offensive, and actually probably proactive is the best word there.
Yeah, I love the thought of going on the offense instead of sitting back and hoping candidates find you. If you know what advertisements your competitor is running, you can start to make decisions to counter that. So you can go on the offense and say, if they're running ads built around X, we should run ads on Y. And knowing what your competitor is saying and doing on Facebook is critical. With 2 billion people logging into Facebook on a monthly basis, your candidates are active in using Facebook on a monthly basis. Facebook isn't going anywhere in the short term. So what we need to do is understand what local competition is doing so that you can use that to your advantage when you think about your own advertising initiatives on Facebook.
And it's really important to take this almost to that next level of organic reach on Facebook is very low. So you could go to your competitor's Facebook page, scroll through their feed, and see what's being produced and consumed in the free world. But that the number of people seeing that free content is going to be multiple times less and fewer than the people seeing the paid content. So maybe, 100 people saw the organic one, thousands of people are seeing the paid. And that's the message we really want to focus on. We don't need to ignore that timeline content, but that paid content, it's getting more eyeballs. And that's another really important reason to know what your competition is doing.
Yeah. And I want to make a point here. We're not saying look at your competitors' ads to run similar ads. Under no circumstances do we want you to be your competitor.
No.
But we want you to be mindful of what others are doing so that you can integrate different ideas into your overall social strategy. There's nothing more disheartening to me than when a client comes to me and say, hey, I love what our competitor is doing here. Can we mimic that or can we do something similar? I've had people send me examples like that. And instead, my reply is always, well, how can we make you stand out to be better than that? We don't want to do what your competition is already doing. We want to continue to have a leg up on our competition. Otherwise, we're just being complacent and doing what everybody else in the local market's already doing. So by understanding what ads they're running, to Matt's point, to understand what they're publishing organically, gives us the opportunity to continue to stay on the offensive and be different.
I don't know if I said this on a previous podcast or just to Brad every day in the office, but it's not the technology. It's the implementation of the technology, and that's what we want to use to really get the best results possible.
Seen and heard.
A recent topic on ASA Central caught our attention, and we wanted to chat about it on this week's episode of Insights. How can staffing professionals mitigate the no-call, no-show? How can we work more closely with candidates to make sure that they actually show up on day one of an assignment? Matt, I'm going to pass it to you for your thoughts here.
I think it goes back to a theme we've been promoting on the Insights podcast, and it's the part I'm going to go with here, and there's another part of it too, is really being human and having some one-to-one interaction with people. And the challenge with that I want to loop back in here is how can we really automate that or make that process as seamless as possible?
We've said multiple times you need to put the social back in social media, putting the human back in the whole process. When it comes to onboarding a candidate, I think it is absolutely critical to nurture them through the process to the point where they are so comfortable with you that it would almost be like letting you down if they did not show up on day one. Making sure that you understand who they are, making sure you understand why they want this opportunity or why they're accepting this opportunity, coaching them through how great of an opportunity it is, because candidly, there's probably a job that they could take where they'll make 50 cents to a dollar more in your local market right now. So why should they stick with you instead of going somewhere else and making maybe another, 40 bucks a week? We need to nurture them through that entire process so that when they do want to show up on day one, when day one comes and they wake up at 5:30 in the morning, they're excited to get to work. It's not just another job, but it's excitement.
And the perfect example, actually, Brad, you set me up perfectly here, was I was listening to the Chad and Cheese podcast, shout out Chad and Cheese, and they were at the Sherm Talent conference, and they were talking to Johnny Campbell from Social Talent. He's their chief sourcing ninja.
Ooh, I like that.
And anyway, Johnny Campbell was talking about how 98% of sourcing should be automated, but one of the examples he walked in this podcast interview was a company, let's say the job candidate comes in and signs up to get an interview. Maybe they're coming in 10 days. During those 10 days, they had a process, through almost like a burner phone, to keep texting or even automate the texting till you created that connection with the job candidate. It could be to confirm directions, and it could be the correct information, or maybe it's even, hey, your interview is at noon or 1 o'clock when it's at a different time. And the recipient could be like, no, my interview is actually at this time. It's to make sure they're bought in, to really have that human connection. So you're starting that onboarding process really strongly in the beginning, so they have that relationship, so they're not just leaving for another assignment when, you know, a shinier object comes by.
You might be thinking, why are they talking about this on Insights? They're a digital marketing, social recruiting podcast, but we consistently are working to drive applications for the clients that we work with across the staffing and recruiting industry. And one thing that really hits us hard is when we drive, let's say, 100 applications for a given job, a client's excited because they've placed somebody, and then we get an email, hey, they didn't show up. So it's almost instinctive for us to think about that next step. How can we continue to nurture this process? What can we do? Is it connecting with that individual on LinkedIn and the night before their assignment, reaching out publicly on LinkedIn saying, hey, hope you have a great first day, or hope you're excited about day one? Is it a quick text the morning of, hey, Brad, really excited for you. Hope this is the opportunity you've been looking for. If you have any questions, please give me a call. Is it a text the night before? Is it a phone call the night before? Ultimately, yes, we want to put the human back in the whole process, but really it comes down to people just wanting to feel like they belong. If you're going through the whole application process and finding a candidate and just placing somebody just to do it at high volume, you lose that human touch. So really, we want to bring that all full circle. And if we want to mitigate the no call, no show, I completely agree with Matt. It's about putting that human element back in the whole process, making sure that everything you do, there's touch points, whether those are automated or not, feel human. Feel like you're being a part of that individual's life and career development.
And while that's one of the challenges of marketing companies is deliver the leads, but then there's also a little bit of a trust or the handing off of those leads to the internal staff. But where the value of a company working in one industry can be is, you know, we talk to a lot of clients, a lot of prospects. Our leadership goes out to conferences and hears issues coming back. And this, the ghosting issue is a very common topic, is why we're talking about it. It's in ASA Central, but you know, we hear tips from other companies or other staffing agencies, and we'll be like, you know, we heard this from other clients, or, you know, this is something somebody similar in your shoes has done. And it's not a direct competitor. It could be we're advising a client in Nashville, Tennessee on a process that works in Seattle, Washington. It's still people. There could be some preference differences, but what's that process that can really develop that relationship, that onboarding process, to eliminate the ghosting? Because ghosting is enormous in the staffing in any industry right now for recruitment. What can you do to get them to show up in interviews, on placements, on day one, on day 10, on day 20?
If you think you found the solution to ghosting in the staffing and recruiting industry, we would love to know about that. And we would love to have you on the Secrets of Staffing Success to share your insights with Todd Lewandowski, host of Secrets of Staffing Success. If there's another topic that you found valuable that you would like to share with the industry, please feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at Haley Marketing so that we can connect you with Todd, so that we can have you on the interview portion of Secrets of Staffing Success.
That was well done, Brad.
Thank you. That's our time for today, and thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast player and share it with a friend or colleague. To stay current with Insights and the interview portion of Secrets of Staffing Success, hosted by Todd Lewandowski, please remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. That's iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Podbean, Stitcher, or listen on HaleyMarketing.com. If you have a question for us, you can tweet us at HaleyMarketing and let us know what you're thinking. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. You can check out HaleyMarketing.com to get in touch with our team of marketing educators. For my podcast partner, Matt Lozar, this is Brad Biley. We'll see you next time.